السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، الحمد لله بإذن الله تعالى، one of the outcomes of the modern world and the Muslims in the modern world is that there is a great resurgence of interest in Islam, of practicing Islam, of living Islam, and more importantly and most importantly of conveying Islam to the world. There's a great resurgence and a great interest in Dawah of Islam. And alhamdulillah, this is a very good thing, because if you look at the reason for the sending of the messenger, the maqsad for the ba'sat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was da'watul Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not sent to establish an Islamic state. He was not sent to teach this or that. He was sent to convey the message of Islam to the whole world. The Islamic state was a means of doing that. Jihad fi sabilillah was a means of doing that. That was not the maqsad why he was sent. He was not sent to conquer territory. He was not sent to fight wars. He was not sent for any of those reasons. He was sent to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of mankind. And all of these things which he did were means by which this message was conveyed. We know from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is recited in every Jum'ah, where he is reported to have said, alayhi salatu wa salam, asdaqul hadithi kitab Allah, wa khairul hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. He said that the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I remind you and myself, and that is the topic of the khutbah today, the prophetic method of da'wah. What was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's method for da'wah? Why is it important to understand this? One, because da'wah was the reason for the coming of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And since the Nabi was sent for the purpose of da'wah, the Nabi was taught how to give da'wah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore it is very important for us to see what was this method which was taught by Allah Jalla wa Ala. Because that is the only method which has the sanction of divine approval. That is the only method which has the sanction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval on it. Every other method, alhamdulillah, if it is good and if it is halal, there is no problem in using it. But one cannot claim that that method has the sanction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that that method is superior to the method of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's taught, the method that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best method, khairul hadi, hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody else's guidance can be superior to the guidance of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is our aqeedah. So what was the method of da'wah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ud'u ila sabili rabbik bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasana wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan." إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, invite mankind, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the way of your Rabb, to the way of your Rabb, إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ, to the way of your Rabb, which is Islam, بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَمَوْعِزَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِزَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. It is, I have said this before in the context of several other ayat of the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentions something, the meaning of it is haq, and the methodology in terms of the sequence that is taught is also haq. It is not accidental. It is not accidental. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, "Udu ila sabili rabbika bil ma'izatil hasana wa bil hikmah." Allah could have said this in the other way around, which is, invite them with good preaching and argument and with wisdom. Allah did not say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, invite them bil hikmah, with wisdom. Well, and with ma'izatil hasana. Ma'iza is from the root word wa'ad. Wa'ad is preaching, wa'ad is lecture, wa'ad is inviting, wa'ad is advice, argument, and so on and so forth. And ma'iza is that. So what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Invite mankind, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the way of your Rabb with wisdom. First requirement is wisdom. The first requirement in the sequence is wisdom. And then, and with fair preaching, ma'izatil hasana, good preaching, good ma'iza, good wa'ad. Wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan. And if you have to argue with them, and if you have to present an argument, then present it in the best possible way. Best possible way. Jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. In the best possible way. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, truly your Rabb knows best who has gone astray from his path, and he is best aware of those who are guided. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among those who are guided, and always to keep us on the path that leads to guidance from Allah jalla wa'ala. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to present Islam. And this ayat came specifically in relation to people of the book, in relation to the Jews and the Christians. And of course, this ayah, as the ayat of the Quran, our understanding is that the ayah may have come in terms of Asbabun Nuzul with respect to a particular time and place and people, but the lesson of it is applicable across the board. So the ayah came specifically with relation to the giving da'wah to the Jews and the Christians, but the ayah applies generally to giving da'wah to anybody, anywhere, at any point in time, whether they are people of the book or not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned, not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advise and teach Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or order him to give da'wah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him how to give da'wah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him the sequence in which da'wah is to be given. And what is that sequence? Number one is hikmah, wisdom. And then after that, maw'idatul hasana, the best way of explaining, the best examples, the best putting things in time of context and of time and place, and so on and so forth. And then especially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and argue with the best of akhlaq. Jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. If you have to argue with somebody, if somebody asks you a question, if somebody refutes, if somebody denies what you are saying, what do you do? You insult him, you break him up, you destroy him, you own him, you chase him off. No. You are very sweet with him. You are very kind with him. You argue with him in the best possible manner. Please understand, I'm not saying this. This is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you. My brothers and sisters, there is no speech which is more truthful than the speech of Allah. And no advice and no guidance that is better than the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the advice that was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose very purpose of existence was da'wah. There is not a single instance in the Sharia where it is permissible to publicly humiliate people in the name of presenting Islam. Please understand very clearly, not one single instance in the entire Sharia, in the entire Sunnah, in the entire Seerah, in any of the lives of any of the Sahaba and the Salaf, where anyone publicly humiliated and insulted somebody from another religion in the name of giving da'wah. Not one single instance. Even with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not even publicly humiliate and insult the open declared enemies of Islam like Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. Even them, he never publicly, openly, he never challenged them, he never insulted them, he never humiliated them. Even people who were open enemies to Islam. And these people were also not people of the book. On the contrary, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave specific advice to Mu'adh ibn al-Jabal when he was sending him to Yemen as the Qadi and the governor, and said to him, they are a people of the book. In this case, they were Christians. Present the kalima to them, present tawheed to them. if they accept. Please note the translation of the words of the hadith. He said, present the kalima to them, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Present the kalima tawheed to them. And if they accept, did he say try to force them? No. Present it to them. If they accept, then invite them to salah. And if they accept, then direct them to pay zakat and take it from their rich and give it to their poor. Now understand this. See the beautiful advice about how to give dawah, especially to people of the book, to the Jews and the Christians. And as I said, it applies across the board, irrespective of whether they are people of the book or not. Three elements of it. Number one, invite them to Islam with the best of akhlaq, making ikram of them, treating them with honor, and being good to them and kind to them. Number two, when you have won their hearts, you invite them to Islam. Number two, when they accept Islam, give them the biggest treasure that Islam has to offer. And what is that treasure? A connection with Allah. As-salah, which is a direct connection with Allah. For a people who are used to going to priests to confess sins and to ask for blessings, to be told that the one who forgives sins is Allah, who you can access directly without any intermediaries, and that you are closest to him in sajda, and that you can ask him whatever you want and he will listen to you and accept your dua. This is the most liberating thing in the world. I don't have to go and confess my sins to a priest. I tell the one who knows about it already. And I make tawbah and I return to him. And I ask him for forgiveness. What is more liberating than that? And when they have done these two things, third, he then advised Mu'adh ibn al-Jabal and said, take from the rich of these people and give it to their own poor. He did not say to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, take it from them and remit it to Medina. He did not say, take it from them and send it to Medina as tribute. No. He said, take money from their rich people and give it to their poor people. What do you take? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Imagine the effect of this methodology of dawah of the Quran and the Sunnah on the hearts of the people. You don't have to imagine it. History is witness for it. That Yemen became Muslim, and for 15 centuries thereafter, Yemen remains Muslim till today. Alhamdulillah. My brothers and sisters, Mu'adh ibn al-Jabal radiallahu anhu was one of the most competent ulama among the Sahaba. He was a young man, he was an Ansari, very handsome, one of the favorite students of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a Katibul Wahi, he was the one of the people who recorded the revelation when it came. He was one of the people who recorded the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said something. He was handpicked by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the governor and qadi of Yemen. Rasulullah's actions were not random. He did not pick Mu'adh bin Jabal because of his desires. I like this fellow, send him to Yemen. No. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all his choices. Then, when he was sending Mu'adh bin Jabal off, he walked with him. Imagine this scene. Imagine this scene. Mu'adh ibn al-Jabal is riding on his mount. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is holding the bridle and he's walking with Mu'adh radiallahu anhu outside of Medina. He's leading the mount and he asks Mu'adh bin Jabal, oh Mu'adh, how will you judge? This is the final exam. This is the final exam where Mu'adh bin Jabal qualifies or he fails. He has taught him everything and now he's taking the final exam as he's walking. He says, oh Mu'adh, how will you judge? Mu'adh ibn al-Jabal says, I will judge by the book of Allah, O Messenger of Allah. And if you don't find the answer in there, what will you do? Mu'adh bin Jabal says, I will look for it in the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, and if you don't find the answer there, what will you do? Mu'adh bin Jabal said, I will consult with the people of knowledge. And if there is nobody to consult, O Mu'adh, what will you do? Mu'adh bin Jabal says, I will use my own judgment in the light of the book of Allah and the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is the examiner? Muhammadur Rasulullah. Who is the student? Mu'adh ibn al-Jabal. The best of examiners and the best of students. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved of this methodology, and that is the reason why these four principles have since then been the usul, the principles on which the Sharia of Islam is based. Kitabullah wa sunnata Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ijma wal khiyas. The book of Allah, the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, collective opinion of the scholars, and the personal opinion, ijtihad of someone who is capable of making that ijtihad. It's not my opinion and your opinion. Someone who's qualified to make that ijtihad. These four things. The reason I'm saying it is that because today many people ask this question, where is it in the Quran? Where is it in the Quran? For a thing to be halal or haram, for the thing to be permissible or prohibited in the Sharia, it does not need to be in the Quran alone. If it is in any of these four things, it has the same status. And that is the basic usul of the Sharia. I'm not going into the usul of Sharia here, just to put a marker there. This hadith also is proof that the sunnah of Rasulullah, his ahadith, were compiled and were in a referable form during his own lifetime. And this destroys the false claims of those who claim that the ahadith were compiled a century or more after he sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. The ahadith that Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim and Imam Ahmad and others compiled came from hadith compilations of the Sahaba, which were done during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his direct approval. Just think about that. People of limited intelligence who say that the hadith were compiled 100 years later or 200 years later. Where did Imam Bukhari find the hadith if it was not written in the first place? Was it floating around in the air? What was it? It was hanging on some tree? The very fact, your statement alone is proof. One, of the fact that ahadith were related, and second, that you have limited intelligence. If you say something was collected, collected, what does it mean? Collected means what? Means it is there to be collected, yes? If I tell you collect diamonds in this room, can you collect diamonds? Because there are no diamonds. But if I say collect topies, you know, you got plenty of topies on people's heads, you can pick them up. For something to be collected, the condition is that it must first be there. So if the ahadith were not recorded, how were they collected? But this is the issue where the shaitan takes over the mind and leads us ever deeper into more and more confusion. My brothers and sisters, I want you to stay with this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of what he asked him to do. How did he ask him to present Islam to the Christians of Yemen? In this whole narrative, please notice that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell Mu'ad ibn al-Jabal, who was a Sahabi, he was Hafiz of the Quran, he was Katibul Wahi, recorder of the Wahi and the Hadith, he was witness to the Asbabun Nuzul of the Quran, he was witness to the circumstances of revelation of the Quran, he was Shahid al-Asbabun Nuzul, he was among the most competent of the Ulama among the Sahaba. He was one of the most articulate and one of the most powerful speakers. He was one of the most beautiful reciters and qurra of the Quran. And he was the one who had ijazah from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to give fatwa during his own lifetime. Mu'adh bin Jabal was one of the people who was given permission by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to give rulings in his own lifetime. What do you think he was doing when he was sending his qazi to Yemen? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was still alive. He did not say, if they have a question, send the question to me and I will answer it. He said, no, if they have a question, you answer the question. How will you do that? That is the methodology to be followed. My brothers and sisters, at no point in time, even though this man was highly, highly competent and capable, at no point in time did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam advise or order Mu'ad ibn al-Jabal to engage the Christian priests and bishops of Yemen in debate and defame them and destroy them and humiliate them in public before their own congregations. This is not because Mu'adh bin Jabal was not capable of that. Mu'adh bin Jabal was more than capable of that. But that was not the prophetic methodology of Dawah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say, go there and announce. I challenge the bishop of Yemen to a debate and destroy the bishop of Yemen, own him, finish him, humiliate him, make him look like a monkey in front of his congregation. Did not say that. He did not say that. He never told him that. And this is because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam understood human psychology a jolly sight more than we do. And he knew that if you humiliate the leader or representative of a people before those who follow him, that is actually humiliation of all those people. And even the neutral among them will be antagonized to you and to your preaching, and all that you will create is enemies among them. No matter how correct your argument may have been from your own perspective, the way it was presented was so unsuitable that the logic and truth of the argument gets lost in the pain experienced by those who are left speechless and inarticulate. If the aim of the argument is to drive the people away and to antagonize them and to convert them into ambassadors of ill will who will not leave a stone unturned to harm you and your message, then public humiliation is indeed the most effective way of achieving this goal. You take away the man's honor and you leave intact his strength and his resources, and you energize him with one of the most potent of forces, which is anger. And he will now work against you day and night while you are lying in your bed sleeping. And believe me, there will be many who will listen to him. Many who were neutral to begin with, when they witness his public humiliation, they become sympathetic to him. And they will feel sorry for him. And they will listen to him. And they will start supporting him, which they may not have done earlier. So this public humiliation strategy works amazingly well to strengthen your enemy and to create more and more enemies for your message. But if you use the methodology of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's da'wah, see what happens. Number one, what is the method? 6 points of the method. Number one, be good to them, smile, be a generous host, make friends, don't antagonize, honor them. The fact that the guy came to you means that he is already halfway in your court. Now what do you want to do? Chase him away or bring him fully inside? He's not standing there with a sword to kill you. He wants to listen to you. He asked you a question. Maybe he doesn't know how to ask the question. Maybe he doesn't know. Many people don't know how to ask a question. I was teaching a course in GE once. And one of the people, I put up a slide of my qualifications and so on first, and one guy came late, and suddenly out of the blue, while I'm saying something in mid-sentence, he said, "Excuse me." So I stopped. He said, "What's your qualification?" Now he's like slapping me in the face. Said, "What's your qualification?" Now what do I tell him? I say, you kind of, you're crazy or what? You know, you ask me qualification. What do you think I'm doing here? I did not say anything. I took a nice deep breath. And then I said, I put the slide back on again, and I said, these are my qualifications. This slide was up a few minutes ago. The man looked at it. He was at peace. And in the interval, he came and apologized to me. He said, "I'm very sorry. I asked you like that. You know, I suddenly said something." The man did not know how to ask a question. I mean, it's not a crime, no? But the fellow was asking. So what is our response to that? What is the methodology of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's da'wah? Number one, be nice to them. Two, present tawheed. Don't argue. Don't even mention what is their belief. Don't tell them, "Man, what kind of thing is this? Jesus Christ is God. How can he be God? Blah, blah, blah." No. This is Islam. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. We worship the creator of everything, including yourself. Khalas. We don't mention Jesus, we don't mention Musa, we don't mention Isa, we don't mention anybody. There's no need to mention. If the person, "What's your belief about Jesus, alayhi salam, peace be upon him?" Our belief about Isa, alayhi salam, is that he is one of the one of the biggest messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him. He honored his mother, Maryam alayhi salam. Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, is a miracle of Allah. He is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He and his mother, Maryam, were the two people about whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they are the only two people in creation who have never been touched by shaitan. Allah has protected them from birth, from shaitan. People asked him, yes, Ya Rasulullah, were you also touched? He said, yes, I was also, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected me and kept shaitan away from me. But Maryam alayhi salam and her son Isa alayhi salam were never touched by shaitan. This is what you say to the Christian. I'm not saying the man will immediately say, inshallah, maybe he will, but I'm not saying immediately he will say, ashadu Allah ilaha illa. No. But will he become your enemy? Will he become your enemy? I mean, who will become an enemy when you are praising the one he praises? You are not praising him to the extent he praises. You are not making him son of God, but you are saying, look, this is our opinion. Isa alayhi salam, we even go to the extent, I tell people, I say, you know, we are at a disadvantage, right? Because you insult Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but we cannot insult Isa alayhi salam. We are at a disadvantage. I mean, we honor Isa alayhi salam. No matter what you say about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we can never say anything against Isa alayhi salam or Musa alayhi salam, because these are our anbiya. This is part of our aqeedah. If a Muslim says, I do not believe in Jesus, he has left Islam, not Christianity. He has left Islam. He has left Islam. If a man says, I do not believe that Isa alayhi salam was a messenger of Allah, he has left Islam. Is our aqeedah, is part of our creed, foundational belief. So what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? He said, present Tawheed. Don't argue. Don't argue. Don't debate. Don't just present what your message is. When they accept, give them a gift. Give them a spiritual gift. What is the gift? You accept that Allah is worthy of worship? Right. Now worship Allah. Why should you worship Allah? Talk to Allah, man. As I said so many times, tell Allah your story. Ask Allah what you want. Give them a spiritual gift. As-salah. When they start praying, help their rich to feel good by giving a minuscule amount of their wealth in charity. 2.5% of accumulated wealth. The Christians come from, and they came from, the modern Christians don't do that anymore, but even the traditional ones do it now, even now, but earlier. They had a system called a tithe. A tithe was 1/10 of your income. Month on month, day on day. 1/10 of your income went to the church. Now you tell people who are used to giving 1/10 of their income to the church. You tell them, you don't have to give anything of your income. No income tax, abolished. What is there is, spend whatever you want on your family and so on, live well, eat well, and so on and so forth. At the end of 12 months, whatever is left, out of that, give 2.5%. To the poor. What do you think they will say? What do you think they will say? And what about the poor? Remember, in any society, the majority is always poor. The majority is always poor. Right? Now those poor, till today, they never got a cent out of anybody. They had to beg for it. But now, the rich man, the lord, the bishop, and so on and so forth, whoever it was, the rich man comes and gives the charity. What is the method of zakat? Go and give it yourself. He comes and he gives this money. What do you think the poor man does? The man is poor, but he's not poor in intelligence. Doesn't he know why the man is coming and giving him? Doesn't he know how come this thing suddenly started, that these guys are coming and giving us money now? They never gave it for generations before. Don't they know why it's happening? What is there, what is the poor population's opinion now about their own wealthy people? Good opinion, fantastic. This lord of mine who was oppressing me till today, mashallah, he's giving me money. Fantastic. So they become popular. The people know exactly why it's happening, because of Islam. So Islam spreads. And very important, take nothing for yourself. Take nothing for yourself. What are the benefits of this prophetic method of da'wah? My brothers and sisters, number one, it takes the wind of opposition out of the sails of the people who want to oppose. Who can be against someone who has a nice smile and he respects and honors you and is kind to you and he feeds you and is generous?
So even if you started from the position, these Muslims are nasty, you would start questioning yourself. And others will question you having come into contact with a living, breathing Muslim. Second one, present Tawheed without argument, without being defensive, without referring to whatever else these people worship. Just tell them, this is the message of your Rabb to you. Recite the Quran to them. Don't tell them translation of the Quran in your words. The man came to listen to the word of Allah. He did not come to listen to your word. He came and said, what does your Rabb say? He didn't come and ask, what do you say? Please understand this very clearly. And this was the method of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They used to come and say, Ya Muhammad, what does your Rabb say? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would recite Quran. The people are asking you, what does the Rabb say? Not what you say. And subhanAllah, I tell you, this method works. This method works as it is supposed to work. I was giving a lecture in South Africa to a group of people who are not Muslim. It was a public lecture in Durban. And as part of the lecture, at the end, I recited the whole of Surah An-Naba. And there were people sitting there, there were Hindus, there were Christians sitting there, there were tears in their eyes. Tears in their eyes. And obviously they didn't understand. I'm reciting Arabic. They didn't understand what was happening, but they had tears in their eyes. And one of them stood up, a man called Logan Govender, and Logan said, he said, God was in this room just now. He said, God was in this room just now. Please understand, the kalam of Allah has an effect on the heart of people, because Allah created us and Allah created our hearts. And Allah also created the hearts of the Hindus and the Christians and the Sikhs and whoever. Who are we to deny them? Who are we to deny them the sound of the word of their Rabb? Eh? Not only are we no one to deny them, it is our duty to help them hear that sound. I do this all the time. I tell people, just listen to what your Rabb is saying. Doesn't matter if you don't understand. Just see how it sounds. And I'm telling you, I'm surprised there are so many people who are not Muslim who have never actually heard the recitation of the Quran. Never. We all live in compartments. And even in a completely multicultural society like India, where everything is on a loudspeaker, most people have not heard what the Quran sounds like. At the most, they hear the adhan, and we know, may Allah forgive us, we know what kind of adhan normally is given. They never heard the Quran. My brothers and sisters, so present Islam to them. And then, as I said, give them the gift of the salah. And when they have tasted the sweetness of salah, teach them this method which will make them powerful and popular among their own people. You know, Sun Tzu, the guy who wrote The Art of War, in The Art of War he writes a wonderful thing. He says, build for your enemy a bridge of solid gold for him to retreat over. He says, don't cut off his retreat. He said, build for him a bridge of solid gold for him to retreat over. He says, if you close the door of retreat, even a rat will fight. And he says, if you face a fight, even if you win the fight, you still suffer. You still use your resources. He says, what is the point in fighting when there is no need to fight? Sun Tzu says, the best general is the one who wins the battle without a fight. He says, build for your enemy a bridge of solid gold to retreat over. And that's why I call Dawah the force of love. Because what is a greater expression of love than to want eternal happiness for the people you are presenting Islam to? Let me end with a story from the Seerah of the Sahaba, of people who practiced this methodology. And the story is the story of one of the greatest of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, Musab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu. Musab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu was sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina as his ambassador. Who was Musab bin Umayr? Musab bin Umayr was a very wealthy young man of Medina of the Quraysh. Very handsome, very fashionable, highly fashionable. Musab bin Umayr was the icon of the time. People used to say, what is he wearing today? He was very fond of perfumes. He used to wear very expensive perfumes. And they used to say that if Musab bin Umayr walks down a street, you can go down that street much later and you would know that he's passed this way, because the whole atmosphere would be full of his perfume. This highly pampered, wealthy young man accepted Islam. And his mother locked him up in the room. And when he completely refused to give up Islam, she said, all right, you can leave, but everything you own belongs to me, so leave it here. As he was leaving, she said, no, even the clothes you're wearing belong to me. She said, take off your clothes. So he said, how do I go naked? She said, here is a sheet. That was Musab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu. He paid a price. He paid a price for his Islam. Musab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu was one of the most beautiful reciters of the Quran. He was one of the most acclaimed reciters of the Quran. Musab bin Umayr went to Medina. And the dawah of Musab bin Umayr was such that most of the akabirin, most of the big names of the Sahaba of the Ansar accepted Islam at the hands of Musab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu. And Musab bin Umayr was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. He was the standard bearer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was holding the flag of Islam. They chopped his right arm and he held the flag in the left arm. They chopped that arm. He tried to grab the flag with his stumps of his arms and they speared him from the back and he died. And when they found his body was mutilated. It was full of wounds. And when they tried to find a kafan, they did not have cloth enough. He was a tall man. He was a very tall, a very handsome man. They didn't have enough cloth to cover him fully. They came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, what do we do? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, cover his face with the cloth and put some leaves on his feet. This Musab bin Umayr went to Medina. In Medina, one of the people who accepted Islam came to him and he said, the head of Banu Aus is a man called Mu'ad, Sa'ad bin Mu'ad. He is the leader and he is the tribal chief of the Bani Aus. And he said to Musab bin Umayr, Sa'ad bin Mu'ad is my cousin. So I can take you into the area of Bani Aus. But if this man accepts Islam, believe me, the entire tribe of Aus will accept Islam. But he is a very hard man. He said he's a warrior, he's a very harsh, a very hard man. So Musab bin Umayr said, take me. So Musab bin Umayr and the cousin of Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad radiallahu anhu, they went. And this cousin took him into the garden of Sa'ad bin Mu'ad. They sat under a tree and some other people gathered there and Musab bin Umayr was presenting Islam to them. At that time, Sa'ad bin Mu'ad was standing far away with another friend of his. And his friend said to him, looks like this Muhammad and his message has come into your own home. He said, that guy sitting there, he is the one who is presenting Islam in Medina. And looks like he's coming to your own house. So Sa'ad bin Mu'ad radiallahu anhu picked up his spear and he said, he's here, but not for long. And he came towards Musab bin Umayr. The cousin of Sa'ad bin Mu'ad saw him coming and he nudged Musab bin Umayr and he said, he's coming. And he doesn't look happy. Sa'ad bin Mu'ad came, he jammed the spear in the ground and he said to his cousin, he said, who is this man? He said, because you are my cousin, you are under my protection, that is why I am speaking. Otherwise, I would not be speaking. I would be doing something else. So he said, now because you are my cousin, that hospitality is over. He said, now get out and take your friend with you. Go away. Musab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu said to him, he said salam to him, and then he said to him, I will do what you say. But I have one request. He said, I have come all the way from Makkah. My request is, just listen to me for a few minutes. He said, what harm can it do? This is your house. You are the chief. What harm can it do?
So Saad bin Maad thought to himself, well, you know, after all, they are the hospitable people. I mean, you know, even if they're kicking somebody out, they didn't do it, you know, nastily. So he said, well, the man is in my house, you know, what harm can he do to me? He said, all right, so tell me what you want. Musab bin Umair said, why don't you sit down? So he sat down. He still has a spear in his hand. He's still sitting down. And then Musab bin Umair, radiallahu anhu, the man who paid to learn the Quran. We get it for free. So we have no value for it. Musab bin Umair paid for it. Musab bin Umair recited the Quran. Saad bin Muad listened. When Musab bin Umair finished, Saad bin Muad said, tell me, what should I do? That's it. He said, tell me, what do I do? He said, say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Saad bin Muad said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And then Saad bin Muad got up and he went back towards his friend. His friend says, when Saad was coming back, I knew that the man coming back was not the same man who went there. He said, just looking at him coming back, I knew that this man was different. He had changed. He had changed. It was not the same man coming back. The man who went there was a different man. The man coming back was a different man. Saad ibn Muad radiallahu anhu called the Bani Aus. Now this is Saad bin Muad as the chief. He called them and he said, say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This is da'wah of the chief. He said, say this. And he said, the ones who say it, good for you. The ones who don't say it, I will not speak to you. Ajiba. The recorder of the story says that some accepted Islam right there. But he said that that day the sun did not set until the entire tribe of Bani Aus had accepted Islam. The whole tribe accepted Islam. Every man, woman and child. And you know and I know what kind of supporters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were the Bani Aus. And we know what kind of supporter of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Saad ibn Muad radiallahu anhu, and he was martyred in the Battle of Khandaq. Now imagine, if Musab bin Umair, instead of adopting and instead of using the prophetic methodology of da'wah, of first ikram, then presenting Islam, then giving him a gift. Instead of that, if Musab bin Umair radiallahu anhu had used argument, if he had insulted Saad bin Muad, if he had tried to dominate Saad bin Muad, what would have happened? What would have happened is very simple. Musab bin Umair would have ceased to exist. Saad bin Muad would have chopped him, and that is his country, it is his land, he is the king, he would have chopped his head. And the Bani Aus would have become the enemies of Islam instead of becoming the greatest supporters of Islam. As simple as that. If the man by one word can convert his whole tribe to Islam, the same man by one word can make the whole tribe an enemy of Islam. He has that power. The people love him. They respect him. If he says do this, they do it. They don't even need any. Musab bin Umair used the Quran. Saad bin Muad just ordered. He said just do it. You understand, you don't understand, I don't care, do it. He had that moral authority to do that. My brothers and sisters, please understand this very clearly. Two things I want to say before I close. Number one, nobody comes to a debate with the intention of losing. Nobody comes to a debate with the intention of understanding the other person. When you go to a debate, why do you go? To dominate the other person. To win the debate. No one in the world, whether it's an elocution debate contest in a school, whether it's a public debate on a public platform, whatever it is, whether it's a debate between two friends sitting and talking, nobody goes to a debate with the intention of losing. Nobody goes to a debate with the intention of understanding the other side. You go to the debate only with one goal, and that goal is to win the debate. And what happens? What happens is very simple. You can never win debates. I'm talking about Islam. You can never win debates. And you know why not? Because if you win the debate, you lost the guy.
If you win the debate, you lost him. And if you lost the debate, you lost anyway. My brothers and sisters, I want to end with one simple word. And that is that Dawa is the winning of hearts. It's not the winning of debates. Dawa is the winning of hearts. It's not the winning of debates. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the capability of doing that which is pleasing to Him and of following the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to gain from the barakah of the sunnah and not to leave the sunnah and follow some, you know, cool methodology which might seem to be cool, but that cool methodology can never be superior to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His to the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His message and to make us people who will take this message to the far corners of the world, not simply by talking and arguing, but by our own akhlaq, by how we behave with people, by how we deal with people, by allowing and helping people to fall in love with us. People believed in Islam because they fell in love with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They believed in Islam because they fell in love with Musab bin Umair. They accepted Islam because they fell in love with Sa'd bin Mu'adh. They didn't accept Islam because they were humiliated and insulted by Sa'd bin Mu'adh and Musab bin Umair and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please understand this. Leave these methodologies. Follow the methodology of the Sunnah, which is to win hearts of people. To win the hearts of people. We were sent into this world to spread goodness all around us. We were not sent into this world to spread antagonism. We were not sent into this world to fight with people. We were not sent into this world to argue with people, humiliate them and insult them. We were sent to do their ikram. We were sent to respect them. We were sent to honor them. We were sent to win their hearts. We were sent to make them love us because we love them. Wallahi, we love every Hindu. We love every Sikh. We love every Christian. We love every Jew. We love every atheist. We love every Zionist. We love every single person in the world. Why? Because we do not want them to fall into the hellfire. We want them to enter into Jannah. Bi ghairi hisab, inshallah. And that is why we take the message of Islam to them with love, with respect, with honor. Not by insulting and humiliating them. Please understand this. If you find anyone doing that, correct them. Tell them this is not the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do you do this? How do you do this in the name of Islam when it is not the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Otherwise, show me where Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam publicly humiliated a person, publicly insulted a person. Show me and I will come and I will also humiliate and insult. But if you cannot show me, then listen to what I am saying. Leave this batil methodology, leave this false methodology and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is to do the ikram of people, is to love people, respect people, honor people, invite them to Islam in the most beautiful akhlaq, invite them to Islam in the most beautiful way possible. And if you cannot do that, then do yourself a favor, stop doing dawah, engage yourself in personal ibadat, pray tahajjud and fast and give charity and make dua for those who want to do dawah in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This makes no sense whatsoever, because by your method you are creating problems for everybody in the world. Everybody in the world. The person who you insult, maybe you are so big and powerful that he cannot do something to you. But what does he do? He now goes around maligning Islam and maligning Muslims, and he will now try to hurt the Muslim that he can hurt. Because that one is in his control. He can't touch you, but he can touch somebody else. And you are responsible for what is happening. Do not fall into these traps. Because this is not the Islam of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not the Islam of the Kitab of Allah. I recited for you the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how to give dawah. If Allah told us anywhere in the Quran, insult and humiliate a person in the name of Islam, show me the ayah. And I will take off my turban and put it at your feet. And if you cannot show me the ayah, then let me show you the ayah. And I have showed you the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do their ikram, ma'izatil hasana, hikmah, wal ma'izatil hasana, wisdom, be nice to them, be good to them, present Islam in the best possible manner. Do that.
Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and to forgive our faults and forgive our mistakes and to grant us that which is pleasing to Him and to grant us that which is the best for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.